This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eschbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
It's the 919 Beer Podcast. Joe Ovius from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Adam Eschbaugh, 919 Beer. No Wayne today.
Special assignment.
Special assignment today?
He was in a work groove. Couldn't be bothered.
Oh, I didn't realize that was allowed.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm in a work groove at 11:55 on a Thursday, and I realize I get a text, we're outside.
I mean, let's be honest. It's usually earlier than that.
True, yeah, true.
Like, hey, you want to go get tacos?
Well, today we got tacos, but oftentimes there are like, we're outside. I was like, oh, that's right. I got to do a podcast
usually
today.
Usually we out here.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Should we be offended?
No.
I'm offended because we didn't
no,
get tacos.
But hey, when spoken to, okay, guys?
Chime in early. Monica, don't. It's not that you should be offended. It's really just slamming these guys and their general attitude with me most of the time. Because their time is always precious, not mine.
It's more of an expectation.
Actually, I take that back. You're actually better than that. It's Wayne whose time is the, especially if Wayne is hungry. Oh, for heaven's sake, shut it down.
Yeah.
Shut it down. Absolutely. Okay. So you heard Monica. Monica Molina, general manager, Vecino, and Ben Woodard from
Woodward.
Woodward.
All good. Been called worse.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ben Woodward from Haw River. You guys are, explain, I feel like, I can't explain it. So y'all explain what's happening.
It's Monica, like you want the Avengers.
It kind of is. It's the greatest crossover event of 2022.
I love
that's
that.
That's not too much pressure.
All right, so Monica, what is going on with
so,
Vecino?
Basically, Vecino over the last, couple of years has worked really hard to come back and stay alive during the COVID-19 crisis and continue to grow our business and get our community foundation really solid. But most, like most businesses that came through this, there were some changes in how our community operated, what the customer demand looked like, and what was going to be needed to be successful in the current market. And it became clear that while we were really doing well in a lot of ways, that there were certain aspects of the business that just didn't necessarily hit the mark. And so we became a very attractive option for a company that was doing really well in those areas. So I don't know, Ben, if you want to
talk about that part. Like Monica said, the pandemic got all of us to sort of think differently about how we're running our business, where we're placing importance, all that kind of thing. And so, for years we've been looking for additional retail space, additional ways to, spots to be able to talk directly to customers and service customers that way. We came close a couple of years ago finding a place up the street in Graham, and that didn't work out. And so, a few months ago, the folks at Vecino touched base with us and asked if we were looking for more retail footage, and we said sure. And so we, Donya and I, decided to sort of sit down and find out what they were looking for, and we got to the point a few meetings later, thinking this might be a pretty good combination of concepts here. And so so recently, within the last couple of weeks, we've signed papers to take over operations basically at Vecino, and it's going to allow Haw River to have a lot more opportunities for some of the things that we've been wanting to do at our place on the retail end at our place in Saxbaha, but it's just too small.
Yeah.
We've got 12 taps out there. We did recently add some space to our patio, which we're thrilled about. So so we're growing a little bit as much as possible out there, but this is a whole new thing. We're going to have a kitchen. A lot of our beer is food centric. So we've always wanted to have kitchen pairing. We've always been thrilled to be able to get a chance to do beer dinners, that kind of thing. But now we'll be able to do that every night of the week, which is great. One of the cool things is that we are bringing on the entire staff from Vecino, who knows that space and knows those customers, while we are changing the concept later on this year, and it will be a Haw River concept, the staff is coming over, which we're really excited about. So there's a lot of those things where this sort of a melding and a merging of we almost called everybody assets. That doesn't sound good, but that kind of
thing. You can edit that out in post.
that kind of thing where we're bringing on the staff and we're, you know, obviously bringing on the space and the customers who are familiar with that space. We're going to be working, you know, talking with them and finding out what they like, don't like, all that kind of thing, and then making changes. And as the year progresses, we're going to be doing a lot of behind the scenes things and making improvements that haven't been able to been haven't been had had the attention paid to them because everybody's been trying to get through a pandemic. Yeah. So now we can go in and we can expand the kitchen and we can add some more. We can add some more seating, and we can do this and that. We're working with the kitchen on refining the menu and focusing mm-hmm. the concept a little bit to work with our beer. And then there, you guys have, I think, 24 taps?
20.
20 taps. Yeah. We're going to have 24 taps, plus maybe some other things. There's all kinds of fun things that we can kind of get into over the next little bit that we're thinking about trying to introduce into the space. So we're excited
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, this is and having that kind of strong brand behind and the backing of Haw River allows us to do the things that we've been wanting to do for so long. You know, we have a really strong base of events. We do a lot of wedding meet and greets and UNC events and things like that. And with the work that we're going to do together, we're going to be able to expand all of that. And people are going to be able to have even more of a good time in that space in downtown Carrboro.
So let's talk time frame. Ben, you reached out probably a couple, what, 6-8 weeks ago?
The day after we signed, I think.
Said you had a very exciting announcement. You came out, what, a week or two ago and kind of made that announcement on social media.
Yep.
And I thought in a very, very positive, very appropriate way. And I think the people immediately started texting me being like, did you see this? And some of them were like headline readers, not reading the entire
sure,
article.
Of course.
You mean, so like, that'll happen. You mean like 90% of people?
And I was like, hey, you know what the best thing about this is to me? Like, they're keeping the entire staff. That's pretty awesome. But as far as timing is concerned, can we kind of put it out there so people kind of know what to expect or what to look
yeah,
for?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
For the rest of this year and beyond.
So we're well aware. I mean, like I said, we just got our patio extended and it took a bit longer than we were hoping just because
of the patio at Saxba Hall.
In Saxba Hall. So
because
any,
it was
my point is
Saxba
any
small.
There it is.
Wow. See what I did there?
I see. Yeah. I see what you did there.
Wayne's not here, man. I got some making up to do.
Let it fly, man. Let it fly.
So the point is any construction project or any project in general these days takes twice as long as it used to.
And it's
because
twice as expensive.
It is twice as expensive. This is a big project, obviously, for our small team. We just earlier, the beginning of the year, we moved into a new warehouse in Graham. Double the size of what we used to have. So we're in the middle or we're at the end now, but we're still kind of getting settled in there. So we've had big projects. We just put our own canning line last fall. We're settling into that. We've got big projects on our plate already. This is another big project that we weren't necessarily bringing into the new year in the first place. So this is now on our plate. We want to make sure we give all of us as much time and space to sort of trip over ourselves a little bit mm-hmm. and figure out what makes the most sense, give ourselves time to talk to customers, work with the staff, get to know the culture there, make sure our staff is prepared to handle that much more retail, you know, demand, all these things that we want to make sure we get right. It's very difficult to get things wrong these days just because everyone's looking at you. And, you know, we're making it on purpose. We're sort of getting it out there a little bit. We want to tell people about what we're doing. So this allows us to have as much, you know, as much wiggle room as we want to get in there and really polish up the concept, polish up the execution of it, and just do it right. And so the timeline in general right now is that we signed the papers a few weeks ago. We're spending most of the summer. The Haw River crew is spending most of the summer getting to know the staff a little bit better. We do know most of the managers already. They're Saxba Hall people, most of them, either Saxba Hall people or beer people. And so Donnie and I we know a good number of these folks already. We have relationships with them already. It's great. But we're getting to know all the staff, all the front of house staff. We're getting to know the kitchen staff, everything like that. We want to find out what challenges they've had in the past couple of years that we can work with them on. We want to find out what they're looking for, improvements they want made to the space, to their work lives, to all these things. So we're going in and absorbing all these things. We're working on ideas that we can bring into the new concept. We are going ahead and making sure that we've got everything lined up on our end As far as the regular part of the business going, because we still have to run the distribution network, I guess you'd call it, on our end. So and going into the fall, and so the way that we're working on it on our end is that we are absorbing everything over the summer, working very closely with Monica and her management team to get to know the back end things, all the books, all the event process, how the kitchen prepares meals and buys food and sources ingredients and all these things, how the front of house handles, customer wants and demands and all those sort of things. And then in August, we're thinking about trying to do something we're internally calling it a Haw River Tap Takeover, basically, where we want everyone in Carrboro who may not be familiar with us to come into Ficino and come get to know Haw River, where we'll come in and maybe have a bunch of our beer on tap.
Mm-hmm.
And then into the fall, we will pepper in throughout and we'll wrap up the end of the Ficino brands and we will have more of our stuff on tap. And maybe all of a sudden you'll see some new menu items, and then maybe we'll have reach-in coolers, because Ficino hasn't done as much package beer. We have a fairly robust, for the size of who we are, we have a fairly robust package program. So yeah. we can a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And so we'll bring in coolers and have our things. We're working with Andrew, the head brewer at Ficino, on brewing a last batch. I made little air quotes that you can't see, but doing a last batch that we can and have available to Ficino customers in August. Mm-hmm. And then alongside of that, a good bit of our package will be available, and we'll start to make refinements and changes and little, moving things into the direction of what the ultimate goal is. And probably the end of the year, probably after Christmas, during the slow period in January, we will probably shut it down for a couple of weeks. We're going to try to minimize that time where we're shut down. And so this gives us plenty of time to prepare for that. So maybe in January, shut it down for a couple of weeks, make the big improvements, bring in the design build team, get the bar replaced, get the facade up on the wall, and mm-hmm. get the major changes, whatever the major changes may be. And we'll be teasing some of those throughout the rest of the summer and into the fall too. So that's the general timeline.
This sounds to me like, and I think I've done this podcast long enough now to read between the lines on certain changeovers that happen at other places and people get worked up about.
Why are you looking at me?
Sure.
Well, you've dealt with this, Adam. I can also think of...
I'll bring up old stuff, Joe.
You can certainly talk about it. I mean, we've had, situations in Cary where they flipped over and people got mad and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So this seems like it's a way to... respect everybody involved.
Absolutely the attempt, yes.
An attempt to respect yep. everybody involved and gradually get them used to what the next phase or the next era of that space is going to be. Sure. Do I have that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I like this plan.
We have a good way of doing it.
It's the
best way we came up with to do it, because I'm not sure how else you'd do that.
Yeah.
We could go in there like a bull, but that's not us, though. That's not what Haw River does. That's not what Ficino wants.
I get that.
Nobody wants that. Like, our customers would be pissed off, and they rightfully would be so. But that's not something we want to do, because we do really – there's a reason that we decided – that we thought it was a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because Ficino does an awful lot of things really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So we came in there and we're soaking all that up and looking at how they operate on a daily basis and how they manage the space and manage their events and that kind of thing. And so we're going to sit down, we're sitting down with Monica and her team and saying, okay, what works, what doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Let's fix what doesn't work. Let's try to keep what works, make it Haw River's version of that, and then everybody's happy keeping moving forward. And that's kind of what that's the general attempt.
Yeah, I think if you could have been a fly on the wall on May 24th when we announced this, it was a real example of what being thoughtful and purposeful looks like. Mm-hmm. So we invited the Ficino crew in, got everybody together, the entire team, explained what was happening, why it was such a great thing for all of us, how we were all going to come out of this in a positive, moving in a positive direction. And then Ben and Danya and Rebecca, the brewer, and a bunch of the Haw River crew come down just after we wrap up our meeting part with a bunch of beer. We've got a bunch of pizza on the table, and we basically had a party, and everybody got to meet everybody, and it was a really
it was a great vibe. We were surprised at how good a vibe, not that we thought less, right. But it just was a great fit. It really was a great fit. We're very happy about that.
having been part in multiple careers I've had.
You're a renaissance man.
I really am. One of these days, one's going to be successful.
You're going to hit.
No, but I've been a part when I was in sales. I've been a part of mergers.
Yeah.
Takeovers, whatever. They're not always
sure.
A good vibe, as you guys say. That's
That's
great.
Yeah.
And I was a part with Mason Jar. We didn't do the same thing, but we did the brewery that was there before was ready to be done, and it was an opportunity for us to take that space. Wasn't the number one space we were looking for, but it kind of fell in our lap. And there was a lot of resentment from the people there because we already had our own thing in mind. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely, and yes.
I had a brewer that I knew I wanted. We had our own stuff, and we wanted to do things differently. And I still don't regret that.
Sure,
I still think we made the right decision for in the long term for what was important for us, and it needed a fresh start because it needed to be us.
Yep.
But I admire what you guys are doing, and I really like it, and I too love Vecino, and it was I don't know if ambivalent is the right word, but you know there's a lot of mixed emotions with this. That being said, you did say you know Vecino does a lot of things really well.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean, Andrew. We talked about it before we started recording. I love some Andrew's beers, and I mean his accent alone. You know that's enough.
Sure. Yes.
That's already like two plus stars on Untapped, but or
he does
bottle
that,
caps.
You know
or
he does that just for you, right?
I know.
He doesn't actually talk like that.
He doesn't. I know. Yeah. Who knew? He's from Pittsburgh. No, just like no, but what because they do things well. I mean, I'm sure you've been bouncing ideas off the wall for a long time now, but are you thinking about keeping some beers, maybe draft only beers that they've had that will help that transition or what? I mean, what thought has been put into that? Can you go into any of that?
To the beer aspect of the yeah, I mean,
for the beer aspect,
definitely
this
yes.
is a beer podcast. I mean,
absolutely,
I love
yes.
the food. I'm
absolutely,
great,
yes. We can kind of touch on the food, but that, you know, that we're just, you know. So the beer aspect of things is interesting because the plan is to remove the brewery from the location. So we're not going to keep the brewery there. Donnie and I and our team went through a handful of brainstorm scenarios at the beginning because we were like, all right, cool, this week, now we can up our, you know, up our volume and all kinds of things. And it just became, since we have made some recent improvements to our production facility, we it was all of a sudden almost a doubling of volume, and we were thinking, gosh, that's a bit more of a challenge than we want. And so the decision was made. We made the decision to not purchase the brewery itself, the actual brewing equipment. And so we have the brewery will be sold off and come out of there. If anybody's looking for a
10
barrel brewery, feel free to give us a call.
Since nobody can get anything.
Absolutely,
these days.
Yes, it's right here in Carver. So the brewery will come out of there. We made the decision because we were confident in the staff and we knew the management team. We were pretty confident early on that we were going to bring the whole staff over and we were going to hire the entire staff on the transition. The one we weren't sure what we were going to do with was Andrew, because we have a team of brewers. We've actually recently hired one or two new guys this year to work with us because we have the canning line now and we're getting our barrel program kicked back into gear. So we've actually brought on a couple of new brewers just in 2022. And so, you know, we were curious as to whether we had a spot for Andrew. And since then, we've been talking with him and all kinds of things. And we definitely are going to be able to have Andrew on the team. We're excited about what he brings to the table because he's a very technical, proficient brewer. We definitely have a spot for that. He's probably going to come on board, and I don't know if we've even finalized this yet, but we're going to offer him a shift brewer position. And so he's going to come on as a shift brewer to help with us with our production. He's going to work with us on our QC, our QA, QC stuff, setting up labs, that kind of thing. And so I think he's going to be a great fit for the team. We're going to have Vecino has, because of the size of Vecino in the past, they've, I don't want to say struggled, but they bring on a number of guest taps. We, on the other hand, have a ton of brands, more than we probably should have for the size we have. And so we can fairly easily fill 20, 24 taps. Mm-hmm. And so we're still going to have maybe a couple of gluten. We are working on our own. We'll figure all that stuff out. There may be a couple of the ciders and the gluten-free. We're not doing a... What are they?
Seltzer, cider, and ginger beer.
See, again, I
just do package with those.
Well, and you know we don't do those currently. If we have an avenue for them, maybe we will explore that. We definitely have explored it in the past. Now that we will have a bigger space to work on that, we may jump into that realm of things. But we'll see. It would be on site only in Carborough. So we're excited about what the beer program could be over there. Once the brewery is out of there, we're going to turn some of that space into more retail space with a little bit more of a kind of a fun angle to it. I'm losing track of what the original question.
Well, the original question was are there going to be any of the of these? Let's just be honest. Can you at least brew the English porter every once in a while?
Yes, that's all I want to know, Ben.
So, ultimately, the question is to come back to what kind of beer Adam wants.
That's so, why didn't you bring the English porter?
That's really what he wants.
We're going to have a chair that says Adam on it, and you're going to sit there and make it as many demands as you want.
That's what he wants.
So here's what we're going to do.
I can zoom in if that's easier.
This summer, we're going to work.
Gas prices and all.
This summer, as we wind down brewing operations in Carborough, we're going to work with Andrew on brewing one or two last beers. We are going to bring them to Saxbaha to package and to can on our canning line. We will have them available later in the summer, first of the fall, available in Carborough at a reach-in cooler in cans for people to bring home to make sure that they can get, you know, some of Andrew's. I'll see what we can do about the porter. We'll see. That said, one of the ideas we wanted to put out was that we could talk to, you know, we could survey all the, you know, Vecino customers and say, hey, if we keep a beer, what's the beer you want to have on tap? Hall River could brew that beer for the next year or forever or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. But that's something that we've talked about too, is that keeping on a Vecino beer if we want to do, and we will brew it at our place.
Every once in a while, this was before
we even sort of had a plan for having Andrew on board. So now that Andrew's on board, then absolutely yes. But those would be brewed at our place in Saxbaugh.
Sure.
We're going to keep the brewing operations in Saxbaugh.
Got it. Monica, you had mentioned events.
Yes.
Okay, so I know events are a big part of what y'all are doing.
Yeah.
So how does that change at all?
Not as far as we have discussed. Absolutely not. I mean, in fact, you know, we've talked about a lot of things that I don't know if we want to go into too many specifics, but ways that we're going to alter the space so that we can do even more events.
Okay,
we can
great.
Expand the range and frequency, and also kind of compounding things. You know, right now, the way the space is laid out, if you've got one, you know, 50-person event, you're kind of done for the night.
Yeah.
You're really limited in terms of the capacity that the kitchen can put out and physically where you can put people. We're looking forward to a future where I can host a 100-person wedding rehearsal dinner or meet and greet and still be able to run normal service for everybody else.
Okay.
And they're not, you know, we're not having to shut down completely because we have 150 people on site.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. Sorry to jump in here, but... from experience, because you don't want to alienate your people, right? And you don't want to shut it. You don't want to lose that opportunity to have this catering or this event, but at the same time, you don't want to lose, especially a Friday or Saturday night or a Sunday afternoon crowd that just wants to go out and have a couple beers at their place.
Right.
And when it's shut down because somebody else comes in, it doesn't feel like it's their place. It feels like they're ignored. So that's important.
Yeah. And I, you know, as much as I don't like to put everything on the shoulders of the pandemic, you know, we were certainly in a situation where for the last 2 years, we didn't have the luxury of being able to risk losing that for sure business in the hopes that Friday night would be that good. If I was going to get 100 people on a Friday night, there would be a premium maybe for that risk to alienating those potential regulars. But there was no room to say, I can let this walk or not.
It's a thing. And I say that from the customer's point of view. Right. I know it from yours.
Yeah.
In every aspect of we're struggling to figure out how to stay open next month to we're in the middle of a pandemic and we're struggling to figure out how to stay open next month. I mean, you can't, it's hard to say no to guarantees, right?
Yeah.
But it's also that, the down the road, it's also that residual business and loyalty that you risk when you do. So hopefully you guys can be able to make that happen.
The interesting thing that we realize along the way is that, you know, Hall River gets requests for events all the time, but we just don't have the physical space for it.
Yeah.
So now we've got some physical space for it, albeit in Carrboro, but we can bring, you know, our brand into that event and our, you know, our service offering that we're working with Monica on to kind of get into the Hall River, you know, family. So now we can bring that to an event with a lot more space and a lot more, you know, to offer. And now that there's a kitchen that we have access to in the company in Carrboro, in theory, we can cater an event in Saxbahaw. So now that we've got a fancy new patio, we're talking about doing our own beer dinners out on the patio that we cater ourselves, which would be kind of cool. So we're going to be doing hopefully some more event stuff in Saxbahaw.
So you mentioned beer dinners.
Yeah, man.
And I got to revisit this.
Yeah.
Joe, sorry, you're excluded, but our good friend Mike Maniscalco and Kristen, his wife, Bridge, my wife and me, and Wayne and his then wife, we all went to a Hall River beer dinner at Heron's. Do you remember this?
I do remember this.
Was that like 2013, 100
years ago?
It was a long 15, maybe. I don't know. It was a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
at the Umstead.
And that was like 15, maybe. That was a long time ago.
And
that was great.
And like even before that, I remember the first time we took a 919 beer group up there to Hall River. A lot of folks made the trek from the Triangle up to Hall River to check it out. You guys were new. There was a lot of buzz about you. And I remember you still had some of you, because you did a lot of collab beers for your opening.
For the opening, yeah.
You still had some on. I think you guys opened like October
14th.
And then we went up, I think, December.
Sure.
But I remember just tasting so many beers and just thinking like your beers were such good pair. They just lent themselves to a lot of different food.
Sure.
And we've had this discussion many times.
Absolutely.
But I went to that beer dinner. You know, when I was doing the beer at Mason Jar Tavern before we even opened the lager company, we did a beer dinner. You guys were there for Valentine's Day. It was when Robin was with you guys.
Yep, absolutely.
So Hall River beer and food have always been something that I've really appreciated. So let's talk about the food that you're thinking. Obviously, you're not going to have your menu made up right now, but what should people expect as far as style and pair? Are there going to be like suggested pairings, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely this finally gives us the opportunity to frame a lot of our beer brands and our different styles of beer alongside a very curated menu. So we're really excited. We've already sat down with Chef Ben a number of times. And again, we know Ben. He used to be the sous chef up at the Eddie right above us in Saxbahaw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So again, there's a natural relationship already with some of this. And we've met the rest of his crew in the kitchen, and we're just excited about how excited they are about things too. So this gives us the opportunity to finally have control on our end with a menu that can stay the same, change, do what we want based on the seasonality, and start to treat a kitchen sort of the same way we treat our beer recipes. And so, you know, a number of our beers since the beginning, since before the brewery, I mean, even back when I was doing homebrew stuff, used a lot of local and seasonal ingredients in it. Kind of back before it was kind of cool. not that I mind it. Everybody doing it now.
Everybody
does
it now.
We tried
hipster
ingredients. Yeah, you know. But
where
it is nice to
see. Where are
Let me put this.
You and your fancy ingredients.
Put it this way. It's nice to see that it's caught on. But that was just the natural sort of way that we always brewed in a long time ago, right? So we would go out and we would pick figs off the tree down by the river, and we would do, you know, make beer like that. And so I remember, you know, talking to Todd at Fontaflora before he was at Fontaflora about this direction of going, of going into a commercial brewery doing this kind of thing, and just the idea of scaling that up was always going to be an interesting challenge. And we've weathered that challenge fairly well, and now we have the opportunity to bring in a kitchen that can approach a dish the same way, approach a menu in a similar manner to the way we've always tried to approach, you know, our beer recipes and our beer brands and that kind of thing, and just the techniques we use in some of our beer. The other thing is that I think, you know, we make beer across the board on a bit of a drier than a lot of folks. And so they really are good to match up with food. They're effective to match up with food. They kind of stay out of the way. They complement nicely. They're full flavored, but they're not going to sink too heavy. They pair up great with a lot of dishes, sweet, savory, that kind of thing. With the new place, we're definitely going to have an eye on pairing suggestions for dishes, sourcing some of the same ingredients that we put in beer that go then to the kitchen to create a dish for a beer launch, and then you'll have a dish to go with it, that sort of thing. So that's definitely something that we're excited about. I think it seems like Ben's excited about it too. The kitchen guys at Vecino are excited about being able to explore some of those things and really tightening up the connection between beer and food and bringing that to the table for customers, and we're excited about that.
I definitely think it's a great match with you guys. And it's what? It's 20 minutes or less away?
Yeah, it's nothing. It's just up 54.
From either place.
It's easy.
Well, let's talk about the beer.
Yeah.
Talk about beer.
I need another something.
You were here not that long ago, actually, if I remember correctly, off the top of my head.
Yes.
I want to feel like a few months ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was longer than that. Because the first thing I went to was the Calico Fields, the Pilsner, which is delicious. I grabbed the full can. Wasn't even going for the little tasters or whatever. Just wanted a good one. But what do we have with this Saison that's being opened up?
So this is... Now that we have our own canning line, we have the flexibility to can smaller batches of interesting things. And so what we've started doing is that this is Beneath the Feet of Orion. It's an old homebrew recipe of ours.
Okay.
It is an imperial rye saison that's brewed with carrots and ginger. It started out with parsnips way back in the day, but then when we opened the brewery, I realized that the first year or two, I found that it was difficult to find that many parsnips. Since then, I've figured out how to do that. But it's carrot and ginger. Hold on.
Joe's just going for full cans.
No. I'm not going for full cans. I just want to
let the man enjoy his afternoon beer.
Usually, well, guys, I got a show to do after this.
Well, I mean,
I'm pulling out pour my samples.
That's usually my polite way of saying I don't want to drink the rest of their beer.
Oh, stop.
So this is what we're doing.
It's Hall River, so
you know, when we do a 20 or a 30 barrel, we have 20 or 30 barrel tanks.
Yeah.
When we do it now, you know, for the last few years, we've been bringing in Ironheart to mobile can for us, and so we have to hit minimums and all the things that it takes to go with mobile canning to make sure it's cost effective. Now that we have our own canning line, what we can do is we can brew 20 barrels of a beer, we can pull 5 barrels off and do something else with it. And so this is that version of that. So this is a carrot cake version, is what we call carrot cake. It's our version of carrot cake. It's not overly sweet. It's not what some folks would do with a carrot cake
beer.
Yeah,
this is pretty wild. Like, right? There's a hint of sweetness to it.
Right.
But I'm not getting full frosting on this.
No.
So I like
we
that.
Will never put frosting
in
beer.
I would drink this with a side of cream cheese.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Seriously.
We will never put cake
look,
in a beer.
I love carrot cake, and I love the ice. I love the cream cheese.
So this has cinnamon and vanilla in it. That's it. And it gives just enough of a difference.
Just enough.
Just
yes,
enough of
just
a difference
enough.
To be unique. But
what's,
still beer.
What's the ABV on this thing?
Which one? 8.1.
Yeah, we should have started with no floor.
I'm telling you, dry it out and you can't
should've
even
should have started with no floor, man.
So that's what this is. We also have the variant. We brought the variant of our Java Q, which is our bacon and salted milk stout. And so we did a variant with maple syrup.
All right, we're getting all over the place here. Hold on a second. Hold on.
You're just throwing it all out.
Slow it down.
Sugar maple spirals. Double the bacon.
Get back to this Beneath the Feet of Orion. Just
yes, don't
briefly.
Cross over. This is one of my favorite beers we make.
It's ready. Delicious, but the fact that it is dry, I mean this in the best way possible. I mean with all due respect.
That's cool. I got you, man. I know you. I know you. You're good.
If you wouldn't have said it has cinnamon and vanilla in it.
Sure. Okay, good.
You wouldn't know.
Good.
I wouldn't have said, man, I really taste the cinnamon and vanilla
in this. I don't
want
you to taste cinnamon and vanilla.
But now that
I
you say it, I get it.
I want you to taste the carrot cake variant of Beneath the Feet of Orion and enjoy what's in the glass.
Yeah,
don't pick it apart.
It's nice and dry, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's not, if you'd say cinnamon and vanilla to me, I'd be like, it's going to be too sweet. It's going to be way too much going on.
So
I'll have like an ounce of it.
This is an interesting conversation. It's a good thing we're having conversations here.
Well, I wanted to go back
to it. So one thing that we've always tried to do as Hall River is to create a total package of a conversation, of an experience in your glass, okay?
Yeah.
So when we add ingredients to a beer, it's part of a full puzzle, right? So it's a chapter in a story. You can read one chapter if you want, but you don't get the full experience. So the way you can pick out the cinnamon, you can pick out the vanilla, or maybe you can't, and it doesn't matter if you can or can't. It's not meant to be picked out. It's meant to be a part of a whole, and it's meant to be enjoyed as that whole. And that's sort of, we always do that kind of thing. And we'll see the Untappd reviews, or we'll have conversations with customers, and they'll say, I like this. It's a great beer, but I can't taste the this in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, why are you trying? Just enjoy it. If you enjoy it, just enjoy it. Don't worry about
That's
it.
That's like saying, I like the color orange, but I can't necessarily see yellow and red.
Right?
But that's what you're going for.
Right. Just enjoy the orange for a minute. It's not a big deal.
Right.
So if you can't pick out the pink peppercorn in this beer, maybe either you're not quite sure what pink peppercorn tastes like, or you're not sure how it lends a quality to the beer. I did not bring it today, but we do the seven faces of pepper.
Trust me, I was going to ask.
Which one? What?
The peppercorn.
Peppercorn?
I've actually been trying to.
Had people say I only
it's my get, wife's favorite beer you make.
It's a great beer. I love this beer so much. It's a seven grain, seven peppercorn saison.
You said we're going to pepper things in, and I've been trying to come up with a seven faces dad joke this whole time, and I've drawn a blank.
You look confused a minute ago. Yeah. That's what you must have been
thinking about. You saw the wheels
turning. It's been a while. Yes. Anyway, Pepe. Go ahead.
So Pepegrano is a seven grain, seven peppercorn saison that we do, and it is a wonderful, complete package with all kinds of layers of interesting, dusty, fruity, you know, kind of sort of smoky to some degree. It's a nice saison. You may not be able to pick out the Java peppercorns in it. I don't know if you can or not.
I mean,
it lends to the whole, and it doesn't make sense to sell a seven grain, six peppercorn.
So you've brought three saisons, and I've asked you to crack the third one open. So we started with Beneath the Feet of Orion, which maybe we shouldn't have started with that. We might have. Maybe we should, but it's great. I love it. It's
fantastic. This is the one we brew earliest in the year, so this is the one to start with.
Gotcha. So the one we just opened, Mille Fleurs. Did I say that correctly?
A little hoity-toity, but yes.
Very hoity-toity.
Yes.
Oh, it's Saxe Paul.
That you were. I went hoity-toity
straight out of Orange County for that one, man. So Mille Fleurs is your dry hop saison.
Mille Fleurs is our year-round. It's one of our – probably our best-selling beer. I should probably know. It's close, if not, depending on the month. But yes, Mille Fleurs is one of our – basically, it's our flagship. It's a dry-hopped spelt saison that we do. It's available all the time, everywhere, as much as we can. And it's just a wonderful – it's got a nice, subtle dry hop on it.
Yeah.
It's certainly not IPA type of dry hop at all. It's just got a nice floral dry hop on it. Super dry, great food beer. All of our saisons, we ferment on the drier side. Everything is kept in check. We don't get up into the 90s, 95s with our yeast on those because we don't want them to be quite as estery as a lot of other saisons.
You're talking temperature on fermentation.
Yes. So a lot of times with saisons, some breweries let them ferment. The yeast can handle hot temperatures, but it creates a much more estery, kind of a lot of people associate it with Belgian-y flavors. So we keep ours in check because we want the phenols. We want the peppery part of the yeast to kind of express. And so ours, instead of being on the fruitier side, it's a little bit more on the black peppery side, and that's just from the yeast perspective. And so that's why Mille Fleurs, I think, is a supremely drinkable saison for us.
So we're drinking saisons right now. We're on the second of three, and I haven't brought up the fact that we started with Calico Fields. I know we mentioned it, but Calico Fields, fine pilsner. But when I think Hall River, I want saisons.
Sure. Yeah.
I want your farmhouse stuff.
Yep.
I want to make saisons amazing. Like okay. I want sure. I want people to know how great they are when they're done well, right? And I really appreciate that is not exactly your niche, but you guys really,
it's your thing.
When you started the brewery, when 2013,
11, we announced 12.
We're not going to go back in.
14.
When you opened,
yes,
it was 14. It was October 14.
It was October 14. Yes,
Dave and I were there.
Yep.
But it was, excuse me, it was exciting because it was this farmhouse stuff, and you really wanted to go kind of that Belgian route on a lot of stuff. Yep. And Saisons haven't really been as sexy as I was hoping they'd be.
It's a bit of a catch-all for a lot of breweries, and so I think if folks would concentrate on making a really delicious Saison, I think the public perception of what a Saison is would probably be a little higher. But the problem is a lot of folks, I think, one of the issues is that a lot of breweries ferment up into the 90s and release it as a Saison. I mean,
okay.
Something happens where they'll throw some stuff in it, they'll call it a Saison. It's the problem is I think a lot of people treat it as a catch-all.
And that's
and
what
it's not
I was,
a catch-all.
I agree with you. I'm going to come at it from a slightly different perspective. I agree with you completely. My issue with breweries making Saisons is the same issue I have with every brewery trying to make a New England IPA or a hazy IPA.
What is that?
So many people do them and they don't do a good job of it, and they don't do them well.
We don't make
them. And Saisons have gotten the same rap without the sexiness.
Yeah, right, there you go. Yeah.
Right? And that's my issue with it. Like, I love a good Saison.
Yeah.
Give me a Tank 7 any day. And it's absolutely, like 8.5%. Yes. Doesn't really like 8.5%, but neither does Beneath the Feet of Orion.
Absolutely, yes.
And I just feel like so many people have thrown that word Saison out there as a blanket term, like you said.
You just pulled out a very well-made Saison.
Right.
And that's
I'll drink a very well-made New England IPA.
Absolutely, yes.
But I roll my eyes when people are like, you got to try this New England. I'm like, okay, great, another one.
I think part of that's
not going to live up to the hype.
I think part of that is just because there are so many breweries right now.
Right.
So if it were a thing, there would probably be a lot of really lousy Doppelbocks. Or really, you know, pick a style if it were a trendy thing.
I agree. I agree. My point is, I think Saisons hit that, quote, trend.
Yeah.
Not as high, but
sure,
several years ago. Oh, hit that trend, and then New England's came in, and people stopped saying, let's make a Saison.
Let's make
six different New England's with one ingredient change.
I would agree with that. Yes.
But
we ignored New England IPAs and kept making Saisons.
Good for you, man.
Thank you.
but that being said, I think there's an opportunity to really kind of preach the gospel of a good Saison.
Yeah, absolutely.
We try to do that
every time we deliver a case of Milflor, we try to do that a little tiny bit.
Absolutely, because you brought three Saisons here and they're all distinctly different, and I'm excited about it. And that's why I wanted to talk about it.
Yes, 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 yes.
So that being said, this third one, Rusted Plow, is in a bottle.
Yeah, yep. This one's wild.
So it is literally wild, which is why we put it in a bottle. So there is Brettanomyces in that one.
Yes.
We also blended in a couple of barrels of our sour blonde base to that one. So this is a neat...
There's a lot going on with this.
There's a lot going on because there's a lot in there. So
there's a lot going on.
So the way this beer came together is a couple of years ago, we moved our fooders. The fooders are the big oak tanks that we had. They're basically
Milflor.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
So we call that a Saison, but it's a loose Saison. I would probably call it a mixed culture sour.
Okay.
It came off of the Rusted Plow fooder, so we called it the variant. So so we moved those fooders out of our space to make room for 30 barrel tanks a couple years ago. We moved them out of the warehouse. We repitched in those. We've gotten them back, finally gotten those things back to where the brands were when we had those two beers in there. So this one came out of the Rusted Plow fooder. It then went into a handful of tequila barrels, a couple types of tequila barrels, and a sea salt barrel that we got our hands on. And so we did a secondary aging in those barrels, and then we blended them to taste alongside two oak barrels of a sour blonde base because we wanted more tartness to it. And then we finished it with a little black lava sea salt and a boatload of fresh limes. And so this is what we're calling our Margarita Rusted Plow variant. So it is quite far from our Rusted Plow, which is a little bit more like a funky version of Milflor, which we haven't had in a little bit. It'll be coming back at some point. But this is a version of that ended up going secondary fermentation in barrels, different types of barrels blended back together to taste. And then we just kind of had fun with it and did a margarita version of it. And we've got a number of those things on the way. now that we're kind of spending more time at the Barrel Warehouse.
This thing goes on a journey from the moment it hits your lips to the moment you swallow it.
The beauty of that beer, honestly, is that you get the tequila, but it's not like you're drinking tequila. So you get the impact of the tequila. It's there. It's prominent. It's definitely there. The salt keeps it nice and bright. The lime keeps it nice and bright. It's great to drink on a hot day. It's
bright.
Really,
I was
going to
say
fantastic.
Bright is – I was going to say that the funny thing is I wasn't necessarily – Ben, why am I not getting the tequila?
Yeah.
I need more tequila. Why is it not happening? Nah. Where's my Untappd app? Actually, I deleted I deleted Untappd years ago. Anyway.
You deleted Untappd before it was cool to delete Untappd.
Actually, I did. You joke, but I did. I was like, why am I on this dumb app? This is whatever. Anyway.
I only rate things 5 stars. People hate it. People absolutely hate it. What I've started doing the past few years.
What, when you rate 5 stars, they hate it?
Everything.
Oh, positive.
They're like, oh, you rate everything 5 stars anyway. I'm like, I just want to know if I've had it or not.
Because positive vibes only, man. Right. Positive vibes only. Yes. But what you said about the lime and the salt, like that keeps it, you're right. Like if I was allowed to bring glass to the pool.
Yes. I'd and we'd love that. To run that through our canning line. We're not running that through our canning line.
No.
There's bacteria in there. There's all that. And again, now that we're getting the Barrel program
pool or the,
cooking
no,
again.
So,
I don't know what pool.
Kills everything.
I don't know what pool you go to, but
that's
whatever.
What it is. That's what it is.
But now, pool doesn't have the special dye. Do whatever you want.
You're right, actually.
It's full of Saison.
Full of spent Saison.
There you go. We would love to be able to put some of our mixed culture beers into cans. We're just not messing with that right now.
Gotcha. What do you think of
dehydrated lime?
So funny story. We still have this packet.
So
Burial came a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
and they brought their Mexican lager,
which I'm still laughing
and
about.
And forgot limes.
Yeah,
went in the kitchen and got that little packet.
I texted Joe. I was like, "Do we have any lime?" So he brought back these packets of this stuff called True Lime, and we're like dumping crystallized
because
lime
actual limes are so difficult to find.
Well, I mean, we are in an
office.
In the radio station. Yeah, one of the people out in the sales pit has this crystallized lime. She goes, "It's legit." I go, "Okay,
it is legit." It says one packet equals taste of one wedge.
It was really good.
So, so here we are with Burial, and
it's from Baltimore, Maryland.
Bo Haggers. So, the point is about, and we'll move on to something else for context purposes. Well, I was gonna say for context purposes, Burial comes in and they bring in this Fooder Mexican lager, right?
It's
and like the point of it
there's
is
so much
it's,
with it's, this beer.
It's so much.
It sounds like it should be simple. No?
No, it's not. It's not though because it's Burial.
It's Burial.
And I say this as somebody who loves Burial.
Absolutely,
okay?
Sure.
Every time I'm in Asheville, we go to Burial. Of course, they have 100%. The transfer location, the exhibit. We go there all the time.
Absolutely.
Regardless, I even said to them, "This sounds.
What are you doing?
This
making
sounds
simple
like Jurassic
beer.
Park.
Yeah.
Dr. Ian Malcolm." Saying nobody ever stopped to think if you should.
Sure.
You know?
And you're specifically saying about the lager.
The whole process.
The fooder.
No, it's hilarious. They will not give you, it's only in a bottle. They will not, it's not on tap.
Right.
They will only give it to you in a clear bottle.
I think I've seen that.
Clear bottle
they
because
sit
they
it
specifically
out,
want
they light strike on purpose.
I appreciate that.
And they have to, and then if you.
It's kind of weird, but I appreciate
it. It's hilarious in the process. And they're like, okay, so if I ask for this beer.
I love irony beer.
And they put the lime in, they put the lime in the top.
They put the lime in the neck.
In the neck.
Sure. They won't leave it in the top.
No, they'll put it in the neck and they will not
serve
it to you if you say, I would like this without lime. No, you have to have it with the lime.
So we got a bunch of other beers you can
have.
This is the real estate that Burial has now.
Yeah,
they're
absolutely.
Like, they're like, you don't want to like
them.
This?
I was like, y'all can do that. Here. Nobody else can do this.
Who else is going to do it? And on one hand, I appreciate the audacity of it all.
Well,
but also
the audacity of it all. Coincidentally, also like three of their beer names.
That's right. The audacity of the blood drip down the bottle of this long neck. Anyway.
It's part of the hope to bring it back. It's part of the whole package.
Yes. But I find
it interesting they don't have it on draft. That's great.
The greatest irony is
I was surprised they don't have glass kegs or something like that.
Beer balls.
Oh, jeez.
He was like, we need a lime.
We need a lime. We can't do this without a lime. He was freaking out.
This beer is just a vehicle for the lime.
Hold on. Let me just clarify here. You had Burial in here. Burial knows what they're doing. They know what they're doing, right? right?
Oh, yeah. No
question. So they bring in something that is as delicate enough as from a presentation standpoint. They don't keg it. They only have it in clear bottles.
Yeah.
They only shove a lime into the neck so you can't they order without a lime.
They strike it.
They say, ooh, we forgot our limes.
Yeah.
And then... And so we
break out this crystal.
You guys brought in
lime.
A packet of something called True Lime.
Which ultimately, I think the next variation on this beer, they're going to give you a packet of that.
They're going to. It's even better.
Scotch
tape to the side of the bottle.
Because, no kidding.
They loved it.
It was really good.
What is this? Is it just citric acid?
Pretty much.
Citric acid, lime oil, and lime juice. That's
no, it was really good. You just tapped a little bit into the bottle, and it hit. I was
here,
like, okay.
Here, Monica, put this in your pocket. We're going to develop something around.
But not
truer. We're going to make truer lime.
Wait, there's more. They do all this. It's the staff's favorite beer.
Yeah.
Sure. And yeah, absolutely.
It's a Mexican lager.
Love it.
Photo aged for a month.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
All of that. Here's the thing.
I don't know. We're going to turn this into.
All of that care goes into this beer.
And this is when I
that
wasn't
is
asked.
Just
so hold on.
No, but this
Let's
is when I wasn't
Let's do a
asked.
Good 20 minute bit on this thing. Here.
Yeah.
So they we're already at 30. So it's lagered in steel, lagered like a lager, right? Yeah. And then it's transferred for an extra month in wood.
Yes.
I would know this if I listened to your show more often. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's fine. Sorry.
We don't even listen.
I hit publish.
I'll go back and I'll
it.
Do it. I promise. I'm not going to do it. I'm lying. So I'm going to go. So it is then aged in oak, in French oak. I don't know what their fooders are made of.
Yeah.
For a month or so.
Yeah.
What is the extra month? Does it give? I'm picking it apart. Look at me. Where's the French oak?
What he said. He likes the little.
It gives it a little,
bit of vanilla
of sweetness.
Yeah, yeah, a little sweetness.
Sure,
that he likes.
So a perception of sweetness.
But what
to
I
it.
Called him on was, I said, the first thing you told me before we were even recording was the lime is the key to this thing,
yeah.
And this beer is no more than the vehicle for the lime.
Yeah. Got you.
To which at
and
that
he was
point,
like, I know it's great.
I said, why? I said, you're
bingo, fantastic.
And so I'm like, you're going through all of this, and I'm thinking to myself. What's stopping people from just buying a Corona?
Yeah,
you know.
But that's where.
But that's
because the
came
guys
from.
At other sure. half they vacation all the time. They of drink course, Corona yeah. on the beach, and
absolutely.
They decided to
and
make
this is, and this is the part that you would appreciate. Yes. It's one of those. It's almost it's an appreciation for the consistency of Corona, and then taking
absolutely.
What they do, and then going, okay, let's absolutely. Deconstruct this. Like yeah. it's no different than going to. We talk about Herons, right? Where you guys did a food dinner. It's no different than going to Herring or a beer pairings dinner. Me going to Herring's one time, and they have a deconstructed s'more dessert.
Sure, absolutely.
What are we really talking about here? Or the one time I went to Mandolin, and they had a deconstructed chicken and waffles.
I love
with
Mandolin.
Like a reduced foam.
It was a live chicken?
It was. No, actually, it was like, what was the show?
It was the egg, actually.
No, what was it? Portlandia? It was Portlandia.
Yeah, yeah.
Put a bird
where
on
you,
it.
Where you put a bird on it, and you actually go to the farm to meet the chicken before you
you had to get his permission before you
pour,
eat it.
You pour the syrup on the chicken.
On the actual chicken. You let it marinate for a bit.
You shove anyway. A chicken in a maple tree.
All right, so
and then the
chicken we've lost it. We've lost it.
The egg pops out of the side of the tree.
We've the lost syrup on the chicken eats
maple
the waffle, and you eat the egg.
So, okay, to wrap this up,
deconstructed
Monica,
with a capital D.
So the process for Vecino, if I'm a Vecino customer or I'm hearing about Vecino, I want to go check this out before it changes over. Things are as is until, or have things started to change now with Hall River?
Things are as is.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're coming in. On any given night, you're having the same experience that you would expect to have.
Okay.
You know, we do have a few folks that are buying the last of our merch up, of
yep.
course, because that'll be...
Collector's item.
Yeah, those will be collector's items.
You got a stash, don't you? Come on now.
A little bit. We have,
it's like the guy's trophy. I'm like, where's my busy stuff? Anyway, where are the tots?
Everything that Andrew's brewing is kind of, you know, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, get it while it's here, limited time only.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, for his recent beer releases, he just released it. The mythical god of a sour disposition. It's a fruited sour.
Homage to Burial.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've gone full circle.
Since we were talking about
in 5 minutes.
I figured I'd throw that in there.
All good.
So he's got some cool stuff on that, you know, we're going to go through the last little bits of. And, you know, I don't think our customers really are going to see any major changes for until, you know.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're trying to be very conscious of the fact that we want to come in and we want an easy sort of a gradual transition over to what the new concept is. Mm-hmm. So if people are looking for a big change, You know, look around the end of the beginning of the next year.
Okay.
In the meantime, we definitely want people to come into Vecino, look at the space. If you're familiar with Haw River, squint your eyes and imagine what we can do in there. If you're familiar, if you're a regular of Vecino or vice versa, whichever, if you're a fan of Haw River, come into Vecino, talk to the staff because we're going to have them on board. So we're excited, you know, again, we're excited about the space. We want our customers, our fans to be excited about
it. You're not hitting them with the Java queue when they show up right away. You're not going to hit them with two times the maple. Two times.
Yeah, what is this that we're drinking before?
Two times.
We've got 26 and a half seconds.
So we were able to pull 5 barrels of our regular Java queue cream stout out of the tank. Java queue.
So Java queue is a thing.
Java queue is a thing.
Java queue?
So Java queue is a beer we did a couple years ago with Left Bank Butchery in Saxbaugh.
Yeah.
We sourced about 40 pounds of their sirloin bacon. So it's a salted milk stout with bacon in it. And coffee. We use Joe Van Gogh coffee in all of our Java stouts.
Coffee definitely.
And so this is a variant of that one with it's aged on sugar maple staves with maple syrup. We use Blaze maple syrup. Ricky Blaze is in Pittsburgh. He's got his families up in New England. Has brings us all of our maple syrup. It's got double the bacon in it and double the coffee in it. And so, again, there is some subtlety to it. It sounds like it's kind of crazy, but there's a nice subtlety to it. You have to make good beer to drink, and then you can, on the edges, do all the fun things. But it still has to remain a good beer to drink. No one wants
anything that I would...
It's not too crazy.
It's not anything crazy, I'd be like, I've got to drink this. But now that I've had it, I really enjoy it.
And that's the fun. All good. That's what we're looking for.
Well, thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Best of luck with the transition. Love the way you guys are doing this. And I think a lot of the folks will understand it as well and enjoy it as well. And we'll catch up with you guys in the future.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
What do we got coming up? I'm not here next week. I'm in New Orleans.
You're not here. You're New Orleans, and I'm not even getting a guest host. So
Adam, are you going to be here by yourself in this room?
Dude, it's going to be like 90 degrees in New Orleans in June because I had a bright idea to go to New Orleans in June. All the beer that I'm having, I'm going to sweat it out. See you then.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.